In Matthew's Gospel, there are five major discourses attributed to Jesus. This parable is a part of the last teaching block that begins in chapter 24, verse 1. Jesus and his disciples had just come out of the temple. His disciples were admiring the beautiful buildings when Jesus warned of the temple's coming destruction. Then they walked over to the Mount of Olives, and Matthew says that the disciples came to him privately with their questions about the destruction of the temple and the end of the age. And that's the setting for these parables. This is a private instruction to the insiders. The judgment parable of Matthew chapter 25 are not directed to the crowds, but to his disciples. In the parable, a master passes out money to his servants, actually a considerable amount of money, and he puts them in charge of investing it while he is away. To one he gives 5 talents, another 2 talents, and to the third one, 1 talent. A talent is a unit of money, and quite a lot of money. 1 talent was equal to roughly equal to 30,000 denarii, and the denarius was equal to a day's wage for a common worker. So the servant who was given 1 talent was given more money than a common worker could have earned in a lifetime. The parable of the talents teaches us that we are not all created equal. We are also told that to each one of the servants, the money was given according to his ability. The ability belonged to the servants, but the money belonged to the master. This is the master's money. The most overlooked part of this parable is the second half of verse 15. The master gives to each servant talents, each according to his ability. The master understood that the 1 talent servant was not capable of producing as much as the 5 talents. Some want to protest this as unfair. Yet we know this is the truth from our own experience. Diversity is woven into the fabric of creation. But even though we are not created equal in regard to the talents we are given, there is equality found in the parable of the talent. It comes from the fact that it takes just as much work for the 5 talent work servants to produce 5 more talents as it does the 2 talent servant to produce 2 more talents. This is why the reward given by the master is the same. The master measures success by degrees of effort as should. As I told in the beginning, remember, this is a parable taught by Jesus to his disciples. To accept the call to discipleship is to accept the responsibility to use whatever we have in the interest of God's kingdom. To accept the call to discipleship is to accept the reality that it all belongs to God. We have been given resources of money, ability, and time, and entrusted with the responsibility to use these resources for the good of God's kingdom, for the good of our sisters and brothers, and the good of the society. The parable prompts me to ask myself, where do I fit in the story? Where do I fit in the story? Honestly, I'm not completely like the 2 servants who doubled the master's money, nor I am completely like the servant who did nothing with it. I am somewhere in between. Sometimes I am like the two faithful servants, and sometimes I am like the one faithless servant who did nothing with the master's money. The servant who did nothing with what was entrusted to him was hampered by fear. When he is called onto the carpet for his failure, he says, "I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground." If that is how we imagine God, we will not be motivated to take risks. We will not be compelled to give our resources and abilities and energy to serve and love others. If we are afraid of failure or afraid of God, we will not invest our money or our time or talents into the lives of others and for the common good of our society. We just won't. But if we know our God, who is the all-compassionate one, who wills our good, who wants our best, who loves each one of us with an unconditional eternal love, then we are likely to take great risks and find great joy in investing our resources, in giving away our energy, time and money for the good and well-being of others and the growth of God's kingdom. In today's Old Testament reading, we find that Deborah, the prophetess and judge in Israel, and the only one woman in the Bible to hold these two positions together. We find her using her ability, gifts, and time for the glory of God. She told Barak, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go take position at Mount Tabor, bringing 10,000 from the tribe of Naphtali and tribe of Zebulun. I will draw out Sisera, the general of Jabin's army, to meet you by the Wadi Kishon, with his chariots and his troops, and I will give him into your hand." If we read this chapter further, Barak said to Deborah in verse 8, "If you go with me, I will go, but if you don't go with me, I won't go." Barak had faith, but with hesitancy. In response to God's command, he said, "I will obey if. Yet Deborah did not abandon Barak for his lack of faith. Rather, she accompanied him and gave him strength in accomplishing God's purpose. We have here a great example of two people partnering as they obey the commandments of God. Is there someone in your life whose faith you can boast by your presence? Is there someone in your life whose faith you can boast by your presence? Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, gives two commands and a word of affirmation. "Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another as indeed you are doing." It is obvious that Paul considered encouragement an important theme. He also urges the Thessalonians to build up one another. The word translated "build up" Okudimu. Okudimu. I'm not good in Greek, but it sounds like Okudimu originally meant to build a house. In the New Testament, it is used of building in a spiritual sense. But the idea is to build up other believers like you who would build up a house. This means you lay a foundation of discipleship and construct a life built upon God's word. It is also worth noting that the terms translated encourage and build up are in the present tense. This implies continuous action. Continuous action. We need to continually encourage and build up our fellow believers. Let us pray. A loving God, most of us here are sometimes faithful, using our talents for your glory and encouraging others, sometimes motivated to take great risks, sometimes willing to give much in terms of our money, time and ability, and other times, well, not so much. If any of us here are hampered by fear, give us clearer reason into your nature. Open our eyes to your goodness and grace. Help us to know how much you love us and care for us. So we won't be afraid to fail, afraid to take risks, or afraid to give our resources for your cause in the world. Thank you for all the good things and help us not be too upset with the bad things, but to allow them to grow us and mature us so that we might become the loving, compassionate, and caring persons you have designed for us to be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son,